Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with our affirmation of faith. This one from Romans in the 8th chapter. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's own children. And we remind ourselves when we read words like sons and sonship that it was the practice of the ancient world that the sons would inherit the property of the father. When the apostle says we are all sons, been adopted as sons, it means that we all, male and female, will inherit the kingdom of God. God's word for today is from Mark chapter 10, verses 39 through 45. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." I also will make it my practice and do so as a reminder to any and all who may be listening that there is a job opportunity for one or more students or graduating seniors or pastors. Daleville Christian Church will retire its long-serving pastor in another year. Daleville Christian Church is an independent Christian church looking to find the next lead pastor of this small but forward-looking congregation. Eventually, it is intended that this position lead towards the full-time lead pastor position upon their present pastor's retirement. What is available now is an associate's position, full-time or part-time, for training in the life of Daleville Christian Church for the future of the congregation. You may email the church. I believe you'll find that on the website or email me, DalevillePastor1@mac.com. When I preach, I want to be helpful. As a pastor, I want to be helpful. The Lord I serve said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." With regard to Jesus' followers, even Jesus' own 12 disciples, and at the Last Supper, Luke tells us, in chapter 24, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. At the Last Supper, the disciples are having a disagreement, and what was it about? They were arguing about who is number one. Typical Americans, right? But Jesus had to tell them, "You're behaving like Gentile heathens. You're behaving like godless heathens." Ouch. And then Jesus said, this is Luke's version in Luke 22, "But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. You want to be number one? Then start washing some feet around here." Why? Because that's what servants do. That's kind of my own rereading of that passage, but I have the notations from God's Word for you in the sermon notes. Jesus, in the first recorded sermon in Luke, chapter 4, spoke of being sent to heal, sent to mend, sent to give sight, to open eyes, to declare the Heavenly Father's blessing. There are many points in our lives that I serve to remind people of Jesus' words. People going to surgery, people having treatment, people who have suffered strokes, people battling chronic health problems, people who have lost their jobs, people who have lost loved ones. I've been called upon to speak to those whose family members suicided, to those whose friends didn't try to fight their illness, to those who suffered accidents. I offer our Lord's own words concerning our God's care for them and our Lord's presence with them while they are suffering. I can tell you from my reading and from police reports that a number of American pastors never read this part of their Bibles. Or if they read it, they thought that they were somehow exempted from Jesus' clear proclamations. Having said that, I thought it was time to look at what we are afraid of. There's no interactive portion of the message here for you to text or write in or otherwise let me know what your fears are. I went to the experts on America's worst fears and found the top 10 fears of America. The authors of the annual survey of America's fears have been doing this survey every year since 2014, and the authors of that survey work at Chapman University in Orange, California, one of the first of several Christian church colleges established in California. Before I get to the list of the top 10 fears of America, I want to make general comment. It was interesting to me that Americans cannot even agree about what they are afraid of. Should I say that again? This survey is taken every year. Americans cannot agree on what they are afraid of. I will share the top 10 fears of America, but even the number one fear of America only gets 62%. 60%? It's not a strong 60%. The number one fear of Americans is corrupt government officials. And only 6 out of 10 Americans put that as their number one fear. And as you might guess, the corrupt government officials that Americans fear are in the other party, not the party they support. I'll talk about this a little bit later. Maybe I should repeat that statement again. As you might guess, the corrupt government officials that Americans fear are in the other party, not in the party they support. So the 6 out of 10 Americans who are most afraid of corrupt government officials are busy pointing at 3 of the 6 people they agree with. 2 groups of 3 people, each pointing at the other group of 3 people. The 6 agree they're afraid of corrupt government officials, but they don't agree about which government officials they worry about. Welcome to America in the 21st century. Now, as a pastor, I can't talk you out of your fears about corrupt government officials. I can, as an historian and a Bible reader, I can give you some perspective. But as concerned as 6 out of 10 Americans are most fearful of corrupt government officials, the Bible is not fearful of corrupt government officials. The Bible is clear. In the list of kings in the Bible, there are 5 good kings and there are 33 evil kings. It doesn't say that the evil kings were corrupt. So what made a good king and what made an evil king? One thing, only one thing, made them a good king. They feared the Lord. They knew that even as they were king in Israel, there was one above them who would judge them, and that was God. Those were the good kings. The same was true for the measure of an evil king. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The Bible is not fearful of corrupt government officials. The Bible condemns the evil kings and does so for one reason. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They weren't murderers or con men or scammers or thieves or adulterers, at least none of those things are mentioned for any one king. Here's a brief rundown from 2 Chronicles. You may read the whole book yourself. King Rehoboam, unfaithful to the Lord. He did evil because he did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, but later did not consult the Lord. Jehoshaphat sought the God of his father and followed his commands. A good king. Jehoram's obituary in 2 Chronicles is the worst. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he passed away to no one's regret. It's right there in the scriptures. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada, the priest. But as the Bible verse prepared the reader, when the priest Jehoiada died, it all went bad, concluding because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, judgment was executed on Joash. Notice that the problem with the kings is not corruption. Good kings seek God and do what God wants. Evil kings, or even kings that start out on God's side, forsake the Lord. The problem with government officials, as far as the Bible is concerned, one thing. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Didn't matter what the people thought about them. I hope that gives you some perspective on fears and government officials in modern America. I could mention another perspective. In the communist country of the Russian Federation, the people are not afraid of corrupt government officials. You know why they're not afraid of corrupt government officials? They're not afraid of corrupt government officials because the people know that their government officials are corrupt. That's just the way it is. I love this phrase, and it's probably true in a number of countries of the world. Money talks and nobody walks. If you have money in those countries, you'll never have to walk anywhere. You'll always get a ride, maybe in a limousine, because you have money. Let me give you another perspective and another survey. And this survey was not conducted by people from Chapman University, so I don't know how true it is, but certainly sounds true. In a 2020 survey of 2,000 U.S. residents, 81% say they believe that humankind is inherently good. That 80% either misread the Bible or never read the Bible. Creation was good, but the Bible clearly states that fear of the Lord went away pretty quickly. We only get as far as the first book of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 6, where we read, "She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." In the very next chapter, people are killing each other, their own brother. If you believe that people are basically good, you do have a lot of explaining to do. I've told you what I tell my children, or what I told my children. We would leave church after worship on Sunday school, and I would lock the church up, and they ask, "Dad, why do you lock up the church?" And I always answered, "Because I've read the Bible." Okay, but the statistics are actually worse than what I've quoted to you. Not only do 81% of Americans think people are inherently good, 3 out of 4 of them believe they themselves are fundamentally a good person. I've told you that I'm not a good person, but Jesus makes me do good things. I know there are some who don't like me saying that, but I think I know myself at least that well. But this brings us back to Americans' number one fear that Americans can't really agree about, the fear of corrupt government officials. Now, I hope I can accuse both sides of the House here because I don't want to play favorites, and there's plenty of blame to go around. Let's talk about our county seat politicians. One mayor was mayor for a term, and there were members of the city council who hated her. They called her a liar and a number of other names I couldn't find in print. She was a Republican. Then there was the next mayor, a Democrat. Let me just read to you from his sentencing to federal prison after he plea bargained his guilty plea. He was the mayor for 8 years. As mayor, he promised to put the interests of the people above his own. Instead, he accepted a $5,000 gratuity in exchange for official acts, namely steering work to a paying contractor who charged more than an honest competitor. In doing so, he chose to serve himself and the interests of insiders who were willing to buy their way into a rigged system. He now joins a dishonorable list of corrupt politicians who have contributed to the growing erosion of public trust and confidence in government. And oddly, this is not the worst part. The worst part, I remember, was that in an interview, the mayor stated he didn't think he did anything wrong. Having violated the law, stated he didn't think he did anything wrong. He believed and still believes that elected office means taking advantage of any opportunities to line his own pockets. I don't think that federal prison rehabilitated him, especially since he's not convinced that what he did was wrong. Now here's the hard part to accept. We put the man in office. Apparently we didn't ask enough good questions when he was running for office. We elected him. Well, we personally didn't elect him, but since voters put these people in office, we bear some responsibility for their crimes. We trusted them and entrusted them. We gave them the public trust, and we didn't ask if the public trust was important to them. But let's talk about Christian trust. American Christian laundry is also very dirty. I mentioned before evangelist Ravi Zacharias, who died in 2020 at the age of 74. Ravi Zacharias had his own worldwide ministry. He was accused before his death in 2020 of manipulation and abuse by a woman. Zacharias sued the woman, claiming that her lawyer's letter to the ministry board alleging sexual abuse was actually an elaborate attempt at extortion. But more women came forward, and upon Zacharias' death, the accusations were confirmed. An investigation found credible evidence of sexual misconduct spanning many years. Zacharias used tens of thousands of dollars of ministry funds dedicated to a humanitarian effort to pay four massage therapists, providing them housing, schooling, and monthly support for extended periods of time, according to investigators. Even as a settlement with the woman over her accusations, Zacharias continued soliciting sexual images of women, defended himself publicly, and assured the ministry leadership and staff that he did nothing wrong and there was no need to investigate. Upon Zacharias' death, even a limited view of Zacharias' old devices revealed contacts for more than 200 massage therapists in the U.S. and Asia and hundreds of images of young women. Zacharias solicited and received photos until a few months before his death. And strangest of all, Zacharias did not believe that he was wrong to receive sexual favors. One woman, also a Christian, stated that Zacharias called her his reward for living a life of service to God. The report says, and Zacharias warned the woman that if she ever spoke out against him, she would be responsible for millions of souls being lost when his reputation was damaged. Zacharias never lived to see the damage and the collapse of his ministry network. No one can know for sure if Zacharias was able to convince himself that he did nothing wrong, as he so often stated. Corrupt government officials? Maybe we should just be afraid of trusted leaders. But in Zacharias' case, what's just as troubling are the people who fought for Zacharias and resisted any outside verification to the woman's accusations. It was the same case as the pastor I talked about last spring and summer. When confronted with his own son's abuse of his daughter-in-law, said, "We'll take care of this inside the family," which of course did not happen. And you may recall this same pastor confessed his sin of adultery, but the truth was much more painful The truth was that the pastor began abusing a 16-year-old girl, and that went on for 9 years. I guess the pastor knew something was wrong. He confessed to the adultery. He just had no idea how wrong he was. Another trusted Christian leader who was never called to confess the length and depth of his abuse and deceit. On the day in church of his failure to fully confess his sin, a circle of prayer surrounded the pastor. No circle of prayer was seen surrounding his victim. Jesus did call the disciples to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Americans and American Christians have yet to demonstrate ourselves as wise as serpents. And our leadership, Christian or not, has yet to demonstrate that they are harmless as doves. I've only covered the number one fear of Americans, although it's only 6 out of 10 Americans. I won't go ahead and give you all of the others because we'll be talking about those in the coming weeks. But finally, I share God's word since we are talking about fears. Perhaps the best known scripture, certainly the best known Old Testament scripture, the 23rd Psalm, in 23:4, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff, they comfort me. And Jesus' final earthly words to the disciples, Matthew chapter 28, I am with you always. And Jesus' words to disciples before his arrest and crucifixion, from John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. Amen.